When you think of professional theater, you naturally imagine Broadway productions in New York, right? You might recall seeing a touring company in Chicago or maybe even a concert series show right here in Columbia on the Jesse Auditorium stage. When you think of professional theater, do you think of Macon, Missouri? Well, Todd Davison wants the city of Maples to come to mind when you're making plans for your live entertainment. My name's Trevor Harris, and on this week's Thinking Out Loud, I visit with the professional crew at Macon's Maples Rep about what it takes to put on live theater in a North Missouri town, population 5,500. Also in the next half hour, we'll hear from Patrick Clark. He's a Double Mizzou alum who just launched a new chamber symphony in Jefferson City. The theme on Thinking Out Loud this evening is high art in small town Missouri. On the day after Thanksgiving, I met Todd Davison while he and his Maples Rep crew were on a dinner break between rehearsals for the musical, which is opening tomorrow, My Three Angels. Besides owning the Royal Theater in downtown Macon, Todd is the artistic director for Maples Rep. He's also got a role in the production of My Three Angels. He plays Felix Ducatel.
We generally rehearse for 2 weeks and then we open. And as the producer, it costs me just as much to hire people to rehearse as it does to perform. So we try to make the rehearsal period as efficient and small as possible because no money's coming in. We are just over halfway through our process. And so we're in a good position. Tonight we're having the designer run, and that's when the lighting designer, scenic designer, and costume designer, and props master will come and watch a complete run-through of the show, most of them for the first time, so they can think, oh yeah, that's where I'm going to need that light, or oh gosh, that door's not going to work if I put it that way. So they still have a few days to try to fix things that they might see or questions that might come up through the run.
Your character that Jack is so lovingly preparing his coat for, how much is he like you, and where is it a stretch that you have to
everyone
get
laughs.
Into character?
Everyone laughs because he really is quite a bit like me. You know, here I find myself in a little town of 5,500 people trying to put a professional theater on. And so the way that works is we have to really have a lot of heart and scrape for every dollar that we can possibly get. And so I find myself quite a bit like the character in that the overarching ideals are more important to me sometimes than the day-to-day. And so it's, of course there are things that are a stretch. You know, I don't live in 1910. You know, I'm not married with a young daughter and all those sorts of things that come along with it. It wasn't a stretch when people thought, oh, well, if Todd's going to take a role in this show, what role would it be? Felix.
Okay, I play Felix Ducatel, who is a French businessman who has a bigger heart than a business sense. And so he's not always successful at the business aspects of his life, and so has been sort of demoted from a department store in France to running the little general store in a penal colony in French Guiana. It's 1910, and there's this French protectorate where they've been putting a bunch of prisoners, and then just the people who take care of them and the shipping are all that lives in this place. So he's running this store there, but he thinks of himself as a going and successful business person, although his heart leaks out all over the play still, and he gives credit to everyone and tries to help everyone, help people more than necessarily get them to pay their bills.
What's the audience like? Who comes to the Maples Rep?
You know, it's just a little bit of everybody, I find. Tons of wide variety of people show up. Some people that you would never expect to see wanting to come see a musical. You'll see they'll put down their camo and rifle, come in from deer hunting, and want to come see My Fair Lady, which is great. And then there's a typical theater crowd that people. So that's the wonderful thing about this place is it's creating an interest of theater in a wide variety of people.
But some people just think, well, that's not for me. You know, I don't. That is for hoity-toity people or for, you know, rich people or whatever. So the idea that we might just go and have a good time and enjoy it is something that sometimes we have to educate people about. And one thing that I always try to bring up is people go to Branson. Lots of people, you know, just regular salt-of-the-earth people from around the sidewalks of Macon and from the farms, a couple times a year go down and see three or four shows at $65, $75 a pop, and they have a great time. But then they come back and struggle to think, oh, they might see something that they would enjoy just as much, you know, for $29 here at Maple's Wrap. So that's part of the education that we have to do, is to tell people that they are the theater patron.
That was Todd Davison talking about the work that goes into making professional theater in his hometown of Macon, Missouri. I met Todd and a trio of his fellow performers and a behind-the-scenes crew member at the Maple's Wrap in Macon last Friday. Sitting to Todd's right was Don Richard. Richard is a member of the Actors Equity Association, a union representing professional actors and stage managers. I asked him when he arrived in Macon and about his acting background.
I just got to Macon, I guess it was just over a week at this point. We got 1 week till our audiences come, a little less than that. And we'll be here for the 2 weeks of the run, finishing on December 11th. And it's great to come into town, work with a group of actors for a very short time. This is a tough play, but it's got some great stuff in it. So we're slowly chipping away at the process, and I think we're finding something that'll be great by Wednesday night. If not by Wednesday's matinee, it will be in great shape. Home is basing in Chicago right now, but I work all over the U.S. and whatever. Wherever there's work, a lot of us go. So a lot of people here are journeyman actors who end up all across the U.S. where the work is right for them and the role is right. Someplace they've wanted to work and try to work with a different director, a different region of the country. It's so great to see so much of the country. Places, you know, I'd passed through Macon many times. I'd been born in Columbia, and I'd known Macon, and I'd always seen the theater logo and knew friends that worked here, but had never gotten to stop by, and now here I am suddenly putting myself on the stage a little.
So you've been here 8 days. How has Macon met your expectations, and how has it exceeded your expectations?
Well, Macon is, we're finding such great little treasures all through it. Of course, you always ask the locals where to go, where to eat, what to do, and they've got a great list. So we're having a blast finding out things about everything from the local beekeepers to restaurants that we need to try, to the best places to shop, the great characters that live in town, people that we're going to see, I know, on opening night and all during the run that are regular patrons. So it's really been a lovely stop already, just hearing the whistle blow at the factory every morning, just getting the feeling of what the town's about. It's a great chance to throw yourself into a place you've never been before, different kind of existence, and see what it's about.
So you said you live in Chicago now.
I do.
And you've traveled around performing at different theaters. How did you find your way to Maple's Wrap, or how did this opportunity make itself known to you?
It happened to be that I was working at the Arrowrock Lyceum for a few shows where I'd worked in the 1980s and came back and did two shows with them the last few seasons, or five or six shows in fact, and worked with the director who was working on this here and was thinking about interesting ways to cast it. And he wanted to give me a really good challenge. So he threw this role at me. In about August, we were discussing it. And I went, I just cracked the book right then. It was like, let's get started on this. Because this show is an interesting bird. It's different than anything I've ever worked on before. It has different kind of moments and feels to it. And I'm so looking forward to where we'll be in 6 days.
So give me the elevator statement for My Three Angels. If I'd never heard of it. And we're trapped in the elevator for a couple floors, and I'm on the edge.
If you're on the edge, what would I say? I would say, imagine yourself at the turn of the century, living in a little shop in French Guiana in the tropics at Christmas, and there are three convicts from the local penal colony working on your roof. But they come down at the house and start creating mayhem. But while they create mayhem, they also create miracles. It's a great little trip that happens all within a 2 hours, 20 minute show.
That was Actors Equity member Don Richard, who plays the convict Joseph in the Maple's Wrap December offering, My Three Angels. While the Maple's Wrap brings in professional actors from afar, sometimes Todd Davison and company draw on regional talent. Sean Riley has performed at Macon's Maple's Wrap since 2005. The Manhattan, Kansas native embodies the role of the convict Jules in My Three Angels. I asked him about his origins as an actor.
acting since I was, a kid. My parents put me in little plays here and there and in high school. And I went to college at Missouri Valley College in Marshall, Missouri, not too far from here. And that's kind of how I heard about Maple's Rep starting out, because I was in college when he was putting it all together.
So did you start here right after college?
I was in college. I was a sophomore my first summer here. So I was a young sprout, eager.
Become a paid actor.
Oh, yeah. It's summer stock is an important thing for young actors because you get some acting experience, and it happens to be in the summer when you don't have school. So it times out almost perfectly for students to come work and then come back to school and try to get your next job in the next summer.
So what do you find yourself doing when you're not performing it in Macon?
I'm performing other places. That's what I do. So I've traveled all over the country and don't always have a lot of time off, which is great. I'm very fortunate, but that's the goal. Keep going.
You said you've traveled around and you perform with other theater groups. Do you have to adapt for the venue here?
I mean, not really. You just come in and you always want to do your best, and you always want to, hit the back wall with what you're doing. So here's no different. You just go all out. These people deserve it just as much as anybody else. So,
how's the Royal? Describe to me the Royal as a performing venue.
Well, it's a very unique space because it's a very vaudeville style house. You've got a big mezzanine with a nice big crowd on the floor, and you really kind of have to play not just to the back wall, but to the back corner, to hit all those people. And it's really fun. And it's beautiful because it hasn't changed in all that time. So it's still just the type of theater you'd see back then. And that truly is unique about the Royal, because so often architecturally you don't see that much attention to detail anymore.
That was Actors Equity member Sean Riley. He'll be performing in My Three Angels as Jules, one of the three convicts featured in the program. The show opens tomorrow at the Maples Rep in Macon. I asked artistic director and theater owner Todd Davison to give us some backstory, the history of the Royal Theater in Macon.
Well, it was built in 1889, and it replaced a theater that was on this site that burned like just a couple years before. And Thelonious Jobson is the fellow who built it, and it was called the Jobson Opera House for a number of years. And then around the time when this play is, around the very early 1900s, its name was changed to the Royal Theater. And that's the name it was known through up until the mid-60s, when it was just called the Macon Theater and converted to movies only. But we got a hold of the theater space in 1991 and started doing a renovation to try to have more live theater capabilities here. And for a number of years, movies were also shown. But then since mid-90s, it's been strictly a live performance venue again. One thing I like about performing here is that there are all the seats are all really close. There are 14 rows, but that's as far back as you can get. And so the very back people have a really nice vantage point. And from a performer standpoint, you're also right in the middle of the room where you can see, you feel the rest of the audience also. It's not a long way. You don't feel like you're in a cavernous space that's shotgunny or way, way back there. And so both folks in the balcony and on the main floor really have a really good vantage point.
How many seasons have you been part of Maple's Rep?
I've been here since the beginning, so this is our 13th season.
So are you a year-round Macon resident?
I am. I grew up here. I lived in Iowa for 7 years around college and right after college, but I've been back here most of the rest of that time.
So what's it been like building the community for theater in Macon?
Well, right when I got out of college, I thought, I'd like to make a professional theater somewhere. And I kind of shopped around a little bit different places. But because I'm from here, there's certain advantages. Like if we need some cast iron, wrought iron furniture for something, I'll say, I know who's got that in their backyard. I'll just run over there. or I'm looking for a fur coat. Yeah, I know the lady who's got that. Let's go ask her if we can use it. So there's some advantages that way from just being around here. But there was a number of years between the time when I had the germ of the idea until we really began to seriously do it, like about a 15-year span. And so that was good because I learned a lot of things in that 15 years. And so the most satisfying part about it has been to see us kind of develop an audience of local people. About a third of our actual audience are what we call local, like a 20-mile radius, and then another third is in the 90-mile radius, and then another third are bus people who come in. It's sort of how we do that. So as we've developed a group of people here who are loyal subscribers and regular ticket buyers, it's been really fun to see farmers and factory folks and people who just have small businesses around in these areas that we've never really thought about going to theater or that it was something that they would enjoy. That's been wonderful. The other part for me has been just to be able to work with lots of interesting people, like the people around the table tonight and other people that I bring in. My main job is that I hire people to put on all the shows. And so I have to think about what we need, and then I talk to people all over the country and try to kind of put the puzzle all together. And then you wait, because it's not time to start production yet. And then they all come together and you try to see whether that's going to work out.
So growing up in Macon, what was your experience of the Royal Theater? Was it an arts center then?
When I was growing up, it was the movie theater. It's where we came to see movies. And
what'd you see?
Oh, gosh, all the things. I mean, I can remember seeing, like E.T. here. I guess I wasn't the biggest. I remember seeing, let's see. I remember seeing Blue Lagoon because that was a big deal. It was rated R. it was just the place where we came. And it was open all the time when I was little, and then just on the weekends in the last, like when I was in high school.
Any movies here now?
No, we haven't shown movies here since about 2000 or maybe 99. So I also happen to have built the Macon Cinema, so I do own the movie theater here in town also. It's a 3-screen theater on the north side of town. So I ran movies here for a time, and it's a great big old single screen. That wasn't really a very good way to be in the movie business, so I did open the cinemas.
That was the arts guy in Macon, Todd Davison. Besides owning the Royal Theater and the town's movie theater, he's also the artistic director of Maples Rep. Davison hires actors for the Maples Rep, and since actors can't do it all for any given show, he also hires directors, stage managers, and costume designers. Elon, North Carolina resident Jack Smith spends 3 months of each year in Macon. When I met him, he was busy sewing a new lining into a vintage 1915 coat that Todd Davison will wear in the upcoming production of My Three Angels.
I did theater all the way through high school, and then I went off to college, and I wanted to be a graphic artist, and my freshman year advisor told me that the university I was at didn't have graphic arts, but if I took journalism and minored in art, it would be the same thing. And I'm not really entirely sure how that made any kind of sense, and even at 18 I thought, well, that seems kind of screwy. But fast forward to the beginning of my sophomore year, I'm 1 week into classes and I'm in a heated debate with a journalism teacher saying I think that this is, she was advocating a lot of ways of getting a story that I thought lacked anything that resembled ethics, and she finally stopped me and said, look around the room, there are 30 people here who have no issue with this. You're not going to work. You should find another career. And I thought, my God, she's right. I don't even like doing this. Why am I doing this? So I went right over to my academic advisor, and we were 1 week into school, so we said, well, let's drop all of your journalism classes and just get you in gen eds and see where you want to be. And one of the classes that worked out that I could take was intro to theater. Like I had said, I'd done theater in high school, so I thought, well, why not? And I got to class, and the instructor said that we had to do 30 hours in either the scene shop, the lighting shop, or the costume shop as part of our grade. So he said, does anybody here know how to sew? And I was the only person who raised my hand. And so he said, well, you're going to go down and work in the costume shop. And I tell this story to my students, but it's true. I, to this day, remember the smell of the room, the song that was playing on the radio, the lights that were burned out. It was such... I was so aware in that moment that I was exactly where I needed to be. And after working a week in the costume shop, I thought, this is actually what I want to do for a living. And I changed my major, and within 2 weeks, I was a theater major. And, you know, I haven't wanted for work as a costume designer ever, and I've truly enjoyed doing it.
That was the voice of Jack Smith. He's the costume designer up at Maples Rep in Macon, discussing how he found his career path. You can see his behind-the-scenes work on stage for the production of My Three Angels, the play opening this week at the Maples Rep Theater in Macon. More details about the theater are online at maplesrep.com. And in the interest of full disclosure, KBIA is a media sponsor for the Maples Rep performance of My Three Angels. Coming up next on Thinking Out Loud, we'll hear from Patrick Clark. The Mizzou alum has a full plate, musically speaking. Besides his work with a wide range of other Jefferson City cultural organizations, Clark has now assembled players for the new Southside Philharmonic Orchestra. The 31-member strong ensemble has their premiere performance Friday, December 16th at Jefferson City's Central United Church of Christ.
Much to my surprise, I haven't encountered the challenges I expected. It seems to be happening quite naturally. It seems that all parties that are involved, that includes me, the musicians, the venue, which is a church, people, volunteers, are all really on board and really responsive. In fact, it is moving more quickly and more nimbly than a lot of the other projects that I do. So a bit of an irony, but maybe it's because it's fresh and it's new.
Yeah, people are excited to sign on, and then we'll see if they show up for the first rehearsal and the second rehearsal and so on down the road.
Yes, but I can, if the challenges do involve putting an absolutely new personnel together. There is no foundation for it. There's no template for it.
So your plate is already full. You've got other obligations with arts organizations in Jefferson City. Why start this now?
You have to take an opportunity where it presents itself, and in this case, there were a number of, I'll call them needs. The church, Central United Church of Christ, is looking to raise their profile in the city. They once upon a time had a very high profile in what's called the Old Munichburg area of Jefferson City, and it was a German church that formed somewhat the center, also the musical center. And as time passes and things change, that has really receded for the Central United Church of Christ. Our new pastor, Reverend Rishon Sinadurai, is interested in bringing that back. I said, well, you know, what I'd really like to do is put a little chamber orchestra together. Maybe we could start a concert series. And that's sort of how it began.
The Central United Church of Christ, it's beautiful. It's worth making the visit over just to look at the architecture, just to look at the art in the sanctuary. How is it acoustically?
It is really a great acoustic. Acoustically, you would almost call it ideal. It has a nice reverb. It makes the way I like to describe it is that a musician or a singer or an orchestra can play the hall the same way that when, let's say, a cellist is playing the cello, they have the strings there that they're literally playing on, but the box, the body of the instrument, is what creates the resonance and the beautiful tone. When you have a hall like this, which is alive and gives back, you play your instrument as if the meta body of the instrument was actually the hall itself. We are rehearsing in the hall, as a matter of fact, and we're beginning to judge the acoustics so that we can use them. The length of notes, the impact of a hit that gives back and goes pop, pop. Reverb is a big factor in how we play that hall.
And how many people can the Central United Church of Christ seat?
We can seat comfortably 300. We could go as high as 350, but I think I'm going to make a choice to limit it, the number of tickets, to 300, because I want people to be comfortable. It's in the seats are pews, and they're nice pews, and they're comfortable pews, but I want to keep it so that you're not squeezed like a sardine to your neighbor. So we're going to keep it down to probably 300.
So the premiere concert happens on Friday, December the 16th, for the Southside Philharmonic Orchestra. Then what? What's the plan for looking into 2017?
That's where things get interesting. They are also speculative. First thing that I would say is I'm so pleased at the enthusiasm of the members of the orchestra. We have members of this orchestra traveling from Kansas City and Columbia, those kinds of distances, very fine players. They all want to continue. Among the possibilities are concertos. I already have a couple of concertos in mind, a Mozart bassoon concerto, a Howard Hanson flute concerto. Other things would include new music. There's some discussion of possibly creating a new music composition competition and playing the winner's work. All of these are speculative. There are composers in Jefferson City, including myself, and it is an opportunity for composers to be heard, while it's far more difficult to get larger orchestras to play new music. With us, we're fresh, we're new, we're willing to do anything. And so I think that we will include some new music, and we hope that the audiences will be receptive to that.
That was Patrick Clark. The two-time alumni of the MU School of Music introduces his newest project, the Southside Philharmonic Orchestra. The program for the Friday, December 16th, concert at Jefferson City's Central United Church of Christ includes Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker Suite, featuring guest conductor Jesus Gomez, Gary Sanders performing Frederick Chopin's Andante, Spianato, and Grand Polonaise, and Ludwig von Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. Details about the event are available online at centralucc.com. My thanks to Patrick Clark for being a guest on the show this evening. Also, thanks to Don Richard, Sean Riley, Jack Smith, and Todd Davison from Maples Rep. For Darren Helwidge, the executive producer of Thinking Out Loud, I'm Trevor Harris. I thank you for listening. Please do stay tuned. We have With Good Reason up next on KBIA.